"What is it?" said Lawrence.
"You sound cross."
"Oh, Sarah, it's you. God, I'm sorry. I thought you were the nanny. She's late, and the baby's just been sick on my tie. Shit."
"Something's happened, Lawrence."
"What?"
"Someone's turned up I really wasn't expecting."
"Funerals are always like that. All the old skeletons come theatrically out of their closets. You can't keep the bastards away."
"Yes, of course. But this is more than that. It's...
I stammered away and fell silent. "Sorry, Sarah. I know this sounds awful, but I'm in a terrible rush here. Is it something I can actually help with?" I pressed my flushed face against the cold glass.
"Sorry, I am a bit confused."
"It's the funeral. You're going to feel a bit scatty, aren't you? I'm sorry, but there's no way around that. I wish you'd let me come. How are you feeling about it all?"
"About the funeral?"
"About the whole situation."
I sighed. "I don't feel anything. I feel numb."
"Oh, Sarah."
"I'm just waiting for the undertaker now. I'm slightly nervous, maybe. That's all. Like waiting at the dentist's."
"Right," said Lawrence carefully. A pause. In the background, the sound of Lawrence's children squabbling at the breakfast table. I realized I couldn't tell Lawrence about little B turning up. Not now. It suddenly didn't seem fair to add it to his list of problems. Late for work, baby sick on tie, tardy nanny. Oh, and now a presumed dead Nigerian girl resurrected on his mistress's sofa. I didn't think I could do that to him. Because this is the thing with being lovers. It isn't like being married. To remain in the game, one has to be considerate. One has to acknowledge a certain right to life of the other. So I stayed silent. I listened to Lawrence taking a deep breath on the edge of exasperation.
"So what's confusing you? Is it that you're not feeling anything much and you think you should be?"